this morning, just a few verses is where we're going to start. And kind of this time of year is sort of allergy season for me, so if I start sneezing or wheezing uncontrollably, just bear with me, I'll get through it. So Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 13. Hebrews 5 and verse 13, it says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for just all you've done for us, Lord. We pray that you would be with us this morning, that just your presence would be with us in this service, Lord, and just that your Holy Spirit would be illuminating truths unto us throughout this hour and throughout our week to come, Lord, as we seek to follow you. And we just pray your blessing on us through your word this day, Lord. May you break the bread of life unto us, Lord, that we might receive it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think all of us would agree that babies bring a lot of joy to people's lives. That whenever there's a baby, that there's so many people that want to see the baby. It's usually more the ladies than the men, but there is that desire that you want to see the baby, you want to hold the baby, you want to get pictures taken of you holding the baby. That there's a lot that just an excitement. And babies do get a lot of attention. I think it's rightly so, because it's a new life. I know it's fascinating just watching them with their little bodies moving. I know with Adelaide it's neat just sometimes just to sit and watch her. Who needs television when you just have a little baby that you can put on the floor and just kind of see what they're doing and watch them exploring things. And of course, we recognize as well, we think of a baby and we think just they're at the start of their life, we think of how much potential they have. We just kind of dream, well, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? What are they going to accomplish in their life? And I think as adults and especially as parents, in some ways we wish that our children could stay as babies, because they're just, we like them when they're small. They're kind of easier to handle when they're small sometimes too. And but the different things, it seems so often that they grow up too quickly, and we wish that they could just stay young for a little bit longer. But that, with that thinking, we recognize that such a desire is more in our own interest than it is in the child's interest. That the child needs to develop, needs to be strengthened, needs to gain the ability to navigate their way, not only just across the living room, but eventually through the world in which they're going to live. And so for a babe to not to grow, to not develop, that's a sign that something's wrong. And we think of that in terms of their diet, that they start on a liquid diet, and it's of necessity because their digestive system can't process anything else. But we know that they cannot remain on such a diet their entire lives. To get all that they need for proper growth and development, they need to gradually work their way up. You start them usually with baby food that's all pureed up, and you start with fruits and vegetables usually. You progress up into rice and cereals, and eventually you get to a point where they're able to eat meat. And as a parent, you don't want to rush them in the process, that if you go too fast, it's not good for them. Their bodies can't process it. It's not going to give them much help. But as a parent, you recognize you have a focus and you have a goal, that at some point you want to get them to a point where they can feed themselves, and when they're consuming the heavier foods, the meat and potatoes, if you will, so that they'll gain strength, so that they'll reach their full potential. As it is in a physical sense, so it is in a spiritual sense. And we recognize that God in his wisdom and compassion, that often he uses what's natural and what's common to us to help us to understand spiritual things. And when we come by faith to Christ for salvation, We start out when we're babies in Christ. We're as newborn babes with a desire, the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. But yet as we grow, we need to develop, so we take in more than just milk. And we recognize that there is more than just milk in the Word. We could recognize milk to be simple things, kind of basics, things that are easy for us to process, easy for us to digest. But we recognize as well that there's many things in the Scriptures that are meat, that might be hard to swallow, hard to process. It speaks that Peter said of Paul's writings that in them there are many things that are hard to be understood. And so it isn't something that we can just take, that we really have to study and try to examine and say, what does this mean? How does this apply? How do I make this real in my life? And the Lord, knowing what we can handle, He doesn't push us beyond. He doesn't give us more than what we are able. We think of how with Jesus, prior to His arrest and crucifixion, He said to His disciples, He said, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And what was going to happen is after the Holy Spirit was going to come and He was going to guide them in all truth, that even some of the things that He did say that they had a hard time taking in, you think of how He explained of how they were going to, He was going to be taken and crucified and rise again, and most of them didn't really grasp that and understand that until after He was raised from the dead. And so it is with us, that He's not going to push us too far, too fast. He's going to be guided by His wisdom, guided by His love. He's not going to push us or put us in a trial that's too hard for us to bear. But we can be certain that as our Heavenly Father, like any good parent, that He has that focus, He has that goal in mind, that He wants to cause us to increase in our ability to process and to digest what we take in from His Word. So that way we can become strong, we can become mature, and eventually we'll be able to teach others the truths of Scriptures ourselves. And in our Christian life, just as with a baby's life, if there isn't a progression, then there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And we see that with Paul, that he's addressing the Hebrews here in Hebrews 5, that he said that there is things that they should have understood, they're at a point they should have been teachers, but they had to be taught again, that they couldn't take the strong meat. We see this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, of how he says to them, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, even as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. That there were things that they should have understood, but they weren't at that point yet. And there was a problem, and he was trying to expose that so that could be addressed. And we realize that we need to grow and develop spiritually, not only for our sakes, but also for the sakes of those around us, with people that we have influence over and whose lives we touch. And because God has our best interests in heart, He desires that as well. He wants us to grow in that. But of course, because of our sin nature within us, we're not always all that interested in developing as we should. Just as the same as with a child, when you give them some new food to try, and as a parent, you can try to give the best sales pitch that you can to them. You say, well, I've just made your new favorite food, and it's full of nutrients, and you're just going to love this. It's going to be so good for you. And if you can just get it, the first bite down your throat, you're convinced that they're going to love it, but they won't do that. They turn up their nose to it. They say, nope, we're not going to do it. And that's often what we do, that the Lord wants to take us a little farther. He wants to give us some more kind of meatier things, and we often resist it. Sometimes we, at a certain point in our Christian life, we grow for a while, but we plateau. We kind of think, well, I'm doing pretty good. All the kind of problems I was having were kind of cleaned up. I'm not really struggling with things as much, so I'm kind of as far as I need to go. But the Lord wants us to always go ever farther. That our final destination is not just kind of good enough, it's becoming like Christ. And we recognize as well that sometimes, as the Corinthians, we get a bit of knowledge, and what does it say of knowledge? That knowledge puffeth up. That sometimes We get a bit, we think we're at a point of great spiritual maturity, but actually it's obvious to everyone else that we still have much to learn and grow in it. So we want to always be challenged by the Lord, always be seeking to advance and learn more and get deeper into the Word. And God has started a work in us upon salvation, and He promises that that work that He began in us, He's going to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And so to make that happen, He is going to put things in our lives. He's going to put in us different situations. He's going to, as we study the Scriptures, He's going to bring different Scriptures to our attention. And these things are going to challenge us and try us cause us to go beyond what we think we're able to. And what it is there are opportunities to be exercised in this area of our Christian life, to be exercised in the area of discernment. And we see this thought given here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, of where it says, "Strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That the idea of discerning or discernment is to be able to judge, to distinguish. It has the idea of being able to examine something, to scrutinize it, and determine what's real, what's counterfeit, what is true and what is false, what is good and what is evil, what needs to be embraced and what needs to be spurned. And spiritual discernment doesn't come naturally to us. We recognize that. Before we were saved, our minds were blinded by the devil. That we were in darkness. We were tricked by many of his deceptions. And we were convinced we were pursuing happiness when all we found in our lives was emptiness. We received not the things of the Spirit of God. They were foolishness unto us. And it wasn't until God's Holy Spirit began to work in us to show us the truth that we were able to come unto Him. But as believers, now that we've seen the light, we need to learn to walk in that light. That's not according to the way of this world, it's according to the Scriptures, according to the path laid down for us in God's Word. That it is the light to our feet, or the lamp to our feet and the light unto our path. But yet we realize, too, that as life happens, there's so much that comes along that it is hard for us to know. It is hard for us to discern what or who to believe. And we know that even though we've passed from death into life, we've turned from the darkness and we've embraced the light, that we know the devil still seeks to deceive us in this world. He seeks to distract us so that we would stumble into one of his snares. And he is very good at what he does. We see in 2 Corinthians how it says that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. And we don't want to be as children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. However, if something is good and right, we don't want to dismiss it right away just because it's kind of different from what we think, because we don't want to find ourselves on the wrong side of something that's good and that is actually scriptural and biblical. And so we need to be exercised in this spiritual discernment. And the more mature we become, the greater this ability will be evidenced in our lives. And as believers, especially as we're starting out and lacking in wisdom and experience, usually what we have a problem of is bouncing back and forth between extremes. And think of it this way, that with driving in Canada on the prairies, and especially if you're driving in the mountains, once winter starts, you have to have a kind of an awareness and a discernment of the road conditions, and you need to drive accordingly. That during the summer, when it's a sunny day, everything's dry, it's quite easy to go at the speed limit and even sometimes go a little bit beyond the speed limit and there not really be a danger as such. But we know when it gets to wintertime, that you can't do that, that you can't just go as fast as you can. Sometimes it's necessary to slow down. But I've seen many times, and I'm sure some of you have seen it, that you'll be driving according to road conditions, trying to be safe, and you'll have someone that just comes screaming by you as fast as they can. And then you see them ahead of you just a little while, start to get in a skid, they've hit an icy patch or something, and they're all over the road, and you think they're going to crash, but they avert disaster. But then you see for the whole rest of the time that they're driving at 10 kilometers an hour, as slow as they can, because they're scared that they're going to get into an accident again. But instead, if they just slowed down a little bit and kept at a steady pace, they would have been fine. And that's how it can be when we think of it in terms of spiritual things, that sometimes what can happen is we can be totally oblivious to the devil's deceptions, that we just kind of keep going and we fall into things, we get in trouble, and we suffer the consequences. But then what happens is we go way to the other extreme where we're almost paranoid, that kind of there's everybody is a false teacher, there's no one you can trust, there's a devil behind every tree, and we can be almost too cautious because we don't want to get tricked again. But if we do that, then the devil still wins, because there might be something good that's out there that God's trying to show to us that we're just, because it's a little bit different, we don't want to even try it because we're scared. And so if the devil, he tries to get us to fall into evil, but if he can't do that, he tries to keep us from the good. So we want to be discerning. We don't want to just go from one extreme to the other. We want to know this is good, this is evil, this is how I am to walk, and have that discernment, that awareness, so that we can know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And we understand that God wants us to have that discernment. He doesn't want us to go about just kind of stumbling into the devil's traps and have him pick us up. Even though he will, we know that he will do that. But he wants us to have that discernment, that he's not the author of confusion. He wants to give us that understanding. He wants to help us in that. And so we ask, well, how do we get that discernment? Where is the source of that discernment? And we recognize that it comes from the Scriptures. It comes from the Holy Spirit as he illuminates those Scriptures to our understanding. That the Bible is God's Word. It is 100% absolute truth from Genesis to Revelation. That we can trust it completely. It is the guide and the measuring stick that God has given us by which we can judge all things. And we can see, does this align itself with the Scriptures? If it does, it is to be accepted. If it does not, then it's some that I need to reject. And you think of it in the banks, when at the banks, that they try to teach a new teller of how to be able to distinguish counterfeit money. They don't give them a whole bunch of samples of the various kinds of counterfeit money for them to look at, because there's so many different varieties that any different counterfeiter is not going to do it exactly the same way. And so trying to be identify it that way, there's just too many to try to find and identify. What they do instead is they show them the real thing. They show them this is genuine money, and it has different distinguishing features. It has different security features so that you can know what to look for. And if it doesn't measure up to what you know to be the truth, you can recognize it for the counterfeit that it is. And so that is why with us, we recognize God's Word is truth, and that's how things are judged by, and that we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. And as we study the Scriptures, we take in that food, we need to be exercised to discern both good and evil. That we have to use what we know as we go through life so that we know what choices to make. And when we were saved, we each received the Holy Spirit. It declares in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I remember my pastor growing up telling me, and this was something that some pastor had told him many years before. He said that once we are saved, God gives us a consecrated brain. And he wants us to use that consecrated brain. And it's the idea that he's given us a spirit of a sound mind, that our mind is illuminated by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And we need to be exercised in discernment. And so we want to do that. We want to know the Scriptures, know the truth. We want to be as the Bereans. We want to search the scriptures to see if such things be so, and understand what the truth is. And we can be certain, just as we've talked about as being exercised in grace and being exercised in faith, that in all areas of our spiritual growth, that God is going to put in our path different things by which we can be exercised in this. And it can be difficult sometimes. It's kind of, when you think of the idea of discernment, it's kind of the idea of exercising the sound mind, that if any of you have ever had one of those things where it's like one of those mind puzzlers or brain teasers kind of thing, and you try to figure out the answer to it, it almost just kind of hurts your head to try to wrap around and get the answer to it. And that's how sometimes things will be, as we try to find, well, what is the truth? What does the scripture say about this? But it's important for us, it's necessary for us to get that, both for our sake and for the lives of the people that we influence. And so, for example, that say you were to go to a Christian bookstore and you find a book from an author you've maybe never read before, perhaps someone recommended it to you, and it looks really interesting, and you start reading it, and it has some ideas in it, the thoughts that you've never contemplated before, and they seem to be really good, and you try to put them into practice in your life, and they're beneficial. But then you get further along in the book, and there's some stuff that you read, and it just kind of makes you scratch your head, and you wonder, well, where is this person coming from? This isn't what I know to be true. And you can kind of get confused and unsure, and when we come to that, usually we do one of two things. Either we put the book down and stop reading it, and anything that we were doing that was part of the book, that we kind of stop doing that. We think that it's all kind of tainted, and I don't want anything to do with that. Or what we might do is we think, well, he seems like he was right on this first part, so maybe he's right on the second part too. And we can adopt some things and embrace things that might actually become kind of fuzzy and imbalanced doctrine. And kind of, that's not something that we want to do. We want to find a book that's going to agree with us, kind of, that's going to challenge us, but not going to, that there's not going to be anything that's kind of different or strange. We want to make sure that we can read a book and that we can know that from cover to cover we can trust everything the author says. And the only book that we can trust everything the author says is the scriptures. And we need to recognize that any person is fallible. They can be right in some things and wrong in others. And we need to be exercised in discernment to know what we can take from what they teach, so that we can know what is good and right and beneficial, and what we need to say, no, that's kind of fuzzy doctrine, it's unscriptural, that's not something to follow after. That we don't choke down the pit just because the peach tastes so sweet. And neither should we spit out the peach because the pit tastes so bitter. That we have to examine that. We need to search the scriptures and compare things to the scriptures and see what is good and what is not. But sometimes we might find there's some things where we think, well, there's so much kind of the pit and so little of the fruit, well, maybe it's not worth it. But even in that there can be some different things we can learn. It's kind of, you think of it with some of the different fruits that are out there. Some are like a banana, you can pretty well eat the whole thing. There's not really much to spit out at all. But then there's some things you think of, like choke cherries, that choke cherry is pretty well all pit, and it's kind of got a pithy taste to it, and most people would just say, oh, I would even bother even trying to eat that. But if you kind of squash them down in the juice and you make syrup out of them, it's probably some of the best syrup you can put on pancakes is choke cherry syrup. And so there's things that you can learn. It might be a whole lot bigger process to try to get the good thing out of it, but there's things that we can learn, things that we can be challenging. Even if it's something where it challenges our faith and helps us to understand more fully what we do believe, that it can be a good thing. And we realize that even some of the books that we read where we think that, well, we can trust everything, that as we get in the scriptures, well, there might be some things that we see, well, they're kind of going a little bit too far on that point. We need to kind of see this is what the scriptures actually teach, and so I want to follow that. And we know that the Holy Spirit is there to be our teacher, that He wants to help us, and that He can use other people to do that, but we don't want to substitute the teachings of men for the teachings of the scriptures through the Holy Spirit. And so when we read different books and things, that this is an example of an exercise in discernment that we can learn through, that it's something that can be provided by God, that can be a help to us. And it can, if we do that, it can keep us from a lot of trouble of getting sucked in and kind of have our theology be based on whatever book we read the last time, that we learn from that. But then it can help us a lot too. It challenges our thinking, and it spurs us to make our faith genuine and practical in our lives. That sometimes we need that as kind of something that kind of comes from outside of us, that kind of gets us thinking, gets us kind of off of what we're used to, and just saying, okay, well, this has something that the Lord's trying to speak to me through this, and I want to heed it. I want to listen. And another thing that we think of as an example of being exercised in discernment is that we need to learn to discern the times in which we live. We see that Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees and the Sadducees when He said unto them in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 and verse number 2. It says, He answered and said to them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? And it was something that they, and it gives the idea of something that we're used to, that old saying that red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. That there's different signs of things that come, and we should be aware of them and be discerning of them. But there's so much more of the signs of the time in a spiritual sense, that there are signs there that we need to be aware of. That we were in darkness once, but we are not in darkness anymore. That we are to walk as children of the light. We are not to sleep as to others. We are to watch and be sober. That Paul declares in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days perilous times shall come. And it's something that it's always a question, well, are we in the last days? And things that you actually read from 1 John that he says that even now that we're in the last days, the fact that there are many antichrists in the world, that's how we know of false teaching and other things. We know that we are in the last times. But it speaks of how in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That we recognize that there is going to be many false teachers out there, many winds of doctrine that pass through, that we need to have this discernment. There will be many that will have a form of godliness, but it's not going to be real. It's just going to be an outward show that behind it there's something else. And we understand that of how the devil works, that he doesn't just plunk before us some that's 100% error, because we'd see it right away and we reject it. So often there's a truth mixed with error. And so we need that discernment, that we know what is true and we hold to it, and we reject what is false, that we don't accept it all and get deceived, but we don't end up throwing out the baby with the bathwater of saying, well, because this is wrong, that everything this person says is wrong, and we end up missing out on what is true. That we need to be discerning. We need to have that awareness and soberness and vigilance in our mind. that we recognize in this day and age that the devil is at work seeking to deceive and enslave people. And as believers, we must not be oblivious to his workings around us, but neither should we have a paranoia either because sometimes we can get in this idea, well, we're the only true believers left on this earth, that everything else has kind of gone away, and we don't want to get to that point. But because we know the times, we know what is at stake, the eternal destiny of the souls of men, that naturally that should have an effect on how we govern our lives, that we know that these things around us shall be dissolved, and so what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That it affects us because we know what's happening, we know what's going to happen in the future, even though we don't know exactly how it all fits with prophecy. We know that there is a judgment to come. We know that there is a heaven to shun, a hell to gain. There is going to be his kingdom that's going to come upon this earth, that there's so many things that we know is to come, and that should affect how we live now. Romans 13 and verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That we are to be awoke out of sleep, that we have a discernment, that we are aware, that we live a certain way because we know the times, that we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, because we know that souls are at stake. It's just like with Paul, that he kept his flesh under subjection, lest after he preached to others he could be a castaway, that he would disqualify himself from the race, that he would give a bad testimony of Christ. And so we want to be careful in that way, that we're discerning of the times, and we live because we know what is to come and what is at stake. And so may in all of this, that we think of this idea that we need to develop as believers. We need to take in not only the milk, but also the meat of the word. We need to learn to be discerning, that we can choose the good and refuse the evil. That may the Lord help us, that we would get into God's word, that we, by the Holy Spirit, as we seek his help, that he would illuminate our understanding of it to us, that we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free. And as we yield to him, as we put what we learn into practice, and as we interact and things, that we become exercised in discernment, so that in this day that we would do that, we could choose the good, we could refuse the evil, not only for our sakes, but for the sakes of all those whose lives we touch and whom we want to be a testimony unto, that they too might come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word, the light that it is unto us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand it, Lord. We know that we can never make heads or tail of it without him showing us, Lord. And we just pray you would open our hearts to your truth, Lord, and help us to know what is true, be able to discern what is false, and just keep us on the right path, that we may honor and glorify you in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to just one more hymn.